Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Rosh Hashanah Chaf Vav. We begin at the Mishnah, which is 8 lines from the top of the Amud. Kol HaShofaros Kshirim, all horns of all animals can be used for Tkias Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Now, although we learned back on Daf Tezayin, ideally, we're meant to use a ram's horn on Rosh Hashanah to be mazkir akedas Yitzchak, where a ram was used instead of Yitzchak. That's the ideal. But, nevertheless, as the Mishnah, really all shofars are kosher. Now, regarding a non-kosher animal, there's a whole discussion amongst the poskim. The Mishnah Berurah brings the Matei Ephraim. If one has no choice, go ahead and use it. Blow, but without a bracha, because for mitzvahs, you're meant to use only products of a kosher animal. So they say, go ahead and blow it, but don't do the bracha in this case. Again, kol shofaros ksherim, all shofaros may be used, chutz mishal paro, except for a cow, ox's horn, a cow's horn. That type of horn is not suitable for the mitzvah of shofar. V'peishu keren, because it's described as a keren, not as a shofar. Interesting. Amar Biyosi, what do you mean? V'loi kol shofaros nikru keren. The term keren is used in to reference all, to describe all horns of all animals. Shenemar, even a ram's horn is called a keren. B'mshech b'keren hayevel. Pasuk speaking about the Bnei Yisrael surrounding Yerichai. When they blew their horns, the walls fell down over there. It's a yovel. Yovel, the Gemara will say, is a ram. So how is it called? A keren. M'shech keren ha-yovel. Apparently, says Rabbi Yossi, the word keren doesn't denote much. All the horns are called shofar, are called keren. It's interchangeable. The terms don't mean much. And therefore, he says, all shofars, even the ones of a para or a shor, can be used. Says the Gemara, it's a good argument. It's a clear pasuk. Shapir kam Rabbi Yossi. It would seem Rabbi Yossi's argument is valid. V'rabban, what do they do to respond? Kol shofar is ikru keren. You're right. All horns are called keren, are called shofar, v'ikru keren, and also keren. So both terms apply to all horns, except the para, when it comes to the one of a para, a cow, of an ox. Keren ikri, shofar loy ikri. We only find it described as a keren and not a shofar. Where is this? Let's go to Rashi, off to the right. So typically, ikru keren v'ikru shofar. Ikru keren k'damar. Every horn, even the ram's horn, is called a keren, as we just brought in the Mishnah. M'sheikh b'keren ha-yevel. Yevel is a ram. So on the one hand, we find the pasuk describing them as a keren, but also v'ikru shofar. We find the word shofar used to describe them. And then it says, so you see the word shofar relates to all horns. So you're right, all horns are described as a keren and as a shofar. As opposed to the para, we only find the word keren used to describe the para, and not shofar. Where is that? Let's go back to the Gemara. So we're speaking about the strength of a shor. Clear. The word keren is used to describe the shor. So this is the Rabbana responding. Right? True, we found the pasuk. You found the pasuk. That even the ram's horn is called a keren. Yeah, it's called keren and shofar. Both are true. But when it comes to a para, to a shor, it's only keren. Now the Rabban explains that really all horns can be considered typically can be considered keren and shofar. You see, he says when it grows out of the animal, while it's still attached to the animal, it's called a keren. It's like the corner, like the keren, the corner of the animal. It's protruding, it's growing from the animal. It's his bone. At that point, it's keren. But then when you remove it and you pull out the inner bone, which results in a hollowed out shell, that cylinder, that round container, so to speak, is called a shefer, Meloshen shefeferes. Okay, hollowed out container. So there are really two parts to the shefer. There's the keren and there's the shefer. Right? While it's attached, it's still a keren. You pull out the bone, you have the shefer remaining. So that's what Rabbanan say. Look, every horn, even the ram's horn, can be described as a keren and as a shefer. But apparently the shefer and the pur are different for some reason. Not clear exactly why. But they're more considered like an animal part. They're still regarded as keren all along. Even after you've hollowed them out, they don't assume the new status of a shefer. They're still closely related to the animal. They're regarded like an animal part. And we still call them keren. Perhaps, as we're going to see later, the pura's keren is different than the ram's horn. It develops layers, scales every year. There's another layer added. So even when you remove it from the animal, it still gives that animal part impression. It looks like it's a chelik of the animal. You see the growth. It doesn't look like an independent entity, so to speak. And perhaps that's why the Torah regards it as a keren all along. It doesn't assume the status of shofar and cannot be used for Rosh Hashanah. So this is whose opinion? The Rabbanon. Again, all shofars are called keren and shofar except for the poro, which is only regarded as keren and therefore cannot be used for the shofar where you need Rosh Hashanah, where you need a shofar. It says, Vavarta shofar to rule. So what does Rabbi Yossi do with his response? Rabbi Yossi, he disagrees. Rabbi Yossi, Amalach? Well, guess what? The poro nami, Yekri shofar. I'll show you that even the cow's horn is called a shofar. This is a drasha. It says in Tehillim, David HaMelech asks Hashem that his tefillah should be so valuable. V'sitav l'Hashem, mishoyer par. It should be considered better, higher quality than even a carbon of a shoyer par. Now a shoyer can be used to describe a newborn calf. Par is a three-year-old. So it's not both together. It's either this or that. Im shor, if you mention the word shor, a young calf, lama par, why discuss a par, which is a three-year-old? Im par, if you're discussing a par, lama shor, then why shor, why both together? So drasha is, elo mai shor par, when he says, v'sitav l'Hashem, my tefillah, my tshuva, should be valuable, better than a shor par, he put the words together because he meant me shofar. Should have more impact than even a shofar that we blow. So we see that the concept of shofar relates to a shor, right? Because it's in the same pasuk, shor par shofar. Says Rav Yosi, I found the raya that even the horn of a par or of a shor, same family, one male, one female, is considered a shofar. For Rabban, what do? They use the pasuk for a different drash. K'drav masna, dom rav masna, my shor par. What's the point of joining both words together? David has Hashem that his tefillah should be more valuable than a shor par, that ox that was born mature, that was created as a mature ox, as though it was a three-year-old par, that was the one during Sheshis Mibereshis. Shu Godel Kapar. Chazal tell us that Sheshis Mibereshis, Hashem created this special ox, which Adam Rishon brought as a carbon. In any case, as we learned earlier in Masechta, that all these briois were created mature, as though they were old animals. So that's what he's referring to. A shur, my shur, par shu godel kapar, which presents as large as a par. In any case, we have no drush any longer to prove Rabbi's point. The horn of a shur, of a par, is considered a shefer. Okay, so bottom line is, Chacham say, all shefers have a dual identity, considered keren and shofar, therefore can be used for Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to the para. It's called keren but not shofar. Rabbi Yossi found a pasuk at Rosha that it is called a shofar as well. Ulo Amar, hainu time of the Rabbanon. You were wondering what the Rabbanon were doing with Rabbi Yossi's argument, right? It seemed to present a valid argument in Mishnah. Well, call a shofar as keren keren. So the shaila was, what do Rabbanan do to respond to that? Says Ula, really? There's another point to this machlekes. It's based on another question. Ula Amar Hayin, the time of the Rabbanan. You know where the Rabbanan are coming from? Kedir Rav Chisda. Damar Rav Chisda. Mipnei ma en kain gadol nichnas be big day love and lufnai lufnim. Why is it that on Yom Kippur we don't find the kain gadol going in lufnai lufnim, all the way inside in the kodesh hakadoshim, wearing his full robe, his shmoyne begadim, including the gold garments? Why doesn't he do that? The answer, lefishen kategor, because you can't have a prosecutor. Gold, which is something that reminds Hashem, brings out the zikaron of the Ma'asa Egel, which was gold, that cannot turn into something which will benefit Klal Yisrael at that point. In kategor, a prosecutor, can't Nasa Sanegar become a defense lawyer. That's why he wears the gold. He leaves the gold begadim outside, doesn't bring them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the Avodas Kapara on Yom Kippur. And here as well, we're not going to use the horn of an ox, of a parah, which can evoke the memory of the eagle. We don't want to do that on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Inka Tega Nasa Sanega, the eagle is a calf of this family. We don't want to use a horn of this family. And Veloy says the Gemara, really? He doesn't wear big day Zov on Yom Kippur to avoid this concern. Va'ikadam par, what about the blood of the par which he's bringing in? That's also a par. Hoyle v'ishtini, once it changes its forms, ishtini is considered something else, meaning it no longer presents as an animal, it's just a dam. So it doesn't have this effect. Va'ikadam kaparis, what about the kalim that are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron, the Kaparis, the Kruv, all those made of gold? Choyte bal Yakov Kraminen. The concern is that the choyte, the person, human being who's involved in that sin of the eagle, he shouldn't be makrav with gold. The fellow who's involved in the chet, he shouldn't bring gold in during the hakrava, but just having gold vessels sitting there, that's not a concern. What about the spoon and the shovel that the Kohen Gadol brings in? They're made of gold. The Gemara speaks about the machta made of gold in Yom Kippur. Kaf, well, kaf that holds the keteris. We have in Parshas Nasa, kaf achas, asora, zov, malea keteris. So it would appear from the Gemara that it was all gold. How's it bringing in these kalim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to bring the keteris? Choyte bal yisnoe kamrina. The concern is that the choyte, the person who did the chet ha'egel, shouldn't beautify himself with gold, with golden adornments, with big days of, but just tools for the avoida, that's okay. And Taisa says by the shofar as well, he's being misnoya, he's showing of presenting this sound, this blow to Hashem, and therefore he shouldn't use a shofar coming from this family. Big days of b'chutz. What about the fact that the Kohen Gadol wears his full garb, including big days of, when he does the Avodah, the Azorah, the Heichel? Why isn't that a concern? It's only a concern if it's inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the Ikar Mokim Kapara. But otherwise, it's no concern. Well, if so, Shofar Namim Machutzu. Why is it a concern with using a cow's horn? It's also outside, it's not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kivan Del Zikarno. Since the point of the Shofar to bring out the Zikarno, the true essence of Yisrael, in front of Hashem, Kibifnim Dami has the same value and weight as they avoid in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore we keep away from cows and oxes. So this is the time of the Rabban, why we avoid using the Karen of the Par. V'otano, what do you mean? Take a look at our Mishnah. We don't find this reason. V'pneshu Karen Ka'amar. Tani says, you know why you can't use it? Because it's a Karen and not a Shofar. Not because Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Chada, there's one main reason, the Ikar reason, which is the Eagle concern. In addition, says the Mishnah, I'll give you another reason, because of semantics, because we don't find the Torah referring to the cow's horn as a shofar. Chada number one, which is the primary reason, the Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Void number two, and this is the one mentioned in the Mishnah, Meshu Karen, because it's called a Karen. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yosi responds to both reasons. Amalachi tells you like this. The Ka'amras ain't Kateka Nasaneka. Regarding the first reason, the prosecutor can turn into a defense counsel. Hani mibifnim. That only applies if it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim like Yom Kippur. Vai Shofar, this Shofar in Rosh Hashanah, Vachotzu, it's outside, no concern. Number two, the Ka'amras, Reshu Karen. You claim that the horn of a parah is called only a Karen? Kol ha-shofar is nami ikru keren. I'll prove to you from a pasuk. All horns are called a keren. So what's the concern with keren? And of course we have a response to that. As we mentioned earlier, the Chachamim still pointed out that typically everything has a shame, shofar and keren, but not the para, which is only keren. And our basic response with the pasuk that it's called shofar as well. So there are really two svaras going back and forth. Are we concerned about in kategor nasanegar? Yes, no. Number two, is the horn of a cow considered a shofar? Abai Omar, I'll give you another reason for the machlokes. Hainu tamay de rabbanon. Why don't the rabbanon use a cow's horn? Shofar, Omar Rachmano. Or according to one gerus, shofar echad Omar Rachmano. Pasuk says, blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, one single entity. V'loy shnayim shlesha shofaros, as opposed to a conglomerate, a combination of two, three shofaros. V'hada par, the cow's horns, kiven the koi gildi gildi, since it presents itself as something with parts, scales, layers. Rashi says every year another layer gets formed. It just grows and grows, and you see the layers forming. Mischazik is shnayim shlesha shofaros, it appears like two, three shofaros glued together as one. It doesn't give that single entity appearance. And therefore, it's not shofar, which can be used for Rosh Hashanah. Is that the reason? V'atana, meshu keren kama. And now, Mishnah, we see that the Rabbanan don't like it because it's called a keren, not a shofar. How can you say the reason is because they gildi, the scales? Chada, there's one main reason, as we mentioned, the gildi, v'oid kama, and another one in the Mishnah. Chada, number one, the shofar, echad amar achmana, v'lo yishnayim yishloish shofaros. Number one, we need one single entity, and this doesn't qualify because it's a combined entity. That's the main reason. Void, in addition, we pay shu keren. The Torah calls it a keren, not a shofar. Rabbi Yossi Amalach, and what does Rabbi Yossi do to respond? He responds as follows. The Ka'am is shofar echad amar achmana, v'lo yishnayim yishloish shofaros. On your claim that the Torah requires one shofar, and this doesn't qualify, it's two, three pieces together, well, I disagree. Kiva de machabri ahadati, since it's joined together, chadu, after all, it's one entity. Sure, it appears like it's bunched together, but really, it's one single entity, and it qualifies. That's number one. The ka'amras meshu keren. Regarding your opinion that it's only called keren and not shofar, well, kol ha-shofar is nami. Ikru Karen, typically all shofaros are called Karen as well. Pasuk says, "V'mishayech b'Karen hayayvel." Even a ram's horn is called a Karen. And of course, we have the rest of the discussion in the Gemara as we learned. At the Rabbanan say, "Well, all shofaros are called Karen and shofar, as opposed to the cow's horn, which is only Karen, not shofar." Rashi responds, "Well, there as well, it's referred to as a shofar." So, bottom line is, we have two approaches in our Gemara to the machlokes of Yisrael Rabbanan. We have Rav Chisda, the main concern is kategor becoming a sanegor. We have a bias pshat, that the main concern is the para's horn is gildi, scales and layers to it. It appears like pieced together rather than one entity. And then we have the second element of their discussion, which is mentioned in our Mishnah, regarding the shame keren, which is rabbanon, found to be referring to the para's horn. So the keren, as Rabban explained, is something which relates more to the animal, looks like an animal part, and therefore it doesn't qualify as a shofar, it's not a shofar entity. Continues the Gemara. So we speak about the word b'msheich b'keren ha-yovel, that even the yovel, the ram's horn, is called a keren. That was Rabbi Yossi's pasuk in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara in the third white line, "My mashma da hayoyvela, lishna de dichru." What do we find that the word yoyvel is a reference to a ram? The sanya omra bekiva. Kshalachti la arvia, when I went to Arabia, hayu kairin le dichru. They would call a ram with the word with the name yovela. Continues the Gemara with several more examples of interpretations of various terms. V'amar Rakiva, Kshalachti leGalia, when I visited Galia, the Aruch says this is in France. Hayikairin Lanida, Anisha of Anida, they would call her Galmuda. Anisha's experience, Nidas, they would call her Galmuda. My Galmuda, what does this mean? It's her acronym. Gumula Dami Bala. She's separate from her husband. Taisa says the nafkamina would be to understand the pasuk in Iyev, which says Ki Adas Chanaf Galmud. So it's referring to the concept of a nida. Vamar Akiva. Shalachti Lafriki. When I visited Africa, perhaps this was during his first 40 years before he became a Talmud Chacham. Hayikarin Lama. They would refer to a ma, a coin, with the word kasita. Very important. My nafkamina. Why is it important to know this? The Frushi, to understand the pasuk where Yaakov purchased a plot of land outside Shechem, and the pasuk said b'meya kasita. So what is kasita? Meya kasita deiraisa. The meya kasita found in the pasuk is now understood. It's referring to coins. Meya donkey, 100 coins. Omer Rabbi, kshalach to lekar chayam. I visited the cities at the seas, perhaps the islands. Hayikayir in the mechira. They would refer to a purchase, to a sale, with the word kira. The man of kamina, why is this important? Lefrushit, to understand the pasuk, where Yaakov Avinu says, look, I want you to bury me in Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, which I was asher karisi li be'eretz Kanaan. What does karisi mean? Well, now we know. It means I purchased it from Esav. It's rightfully mine. Omer b'shem malakish. Kshalachti l'tchum. I went to the area of Kan Ishrayat, this a certain area. Hayikoyren lekalo, a kalo would be called ninifi. That's number one. Number two, a tarnagel, a rooster, they would call it sechri. Now, lekalo ninifi, micro. What do we find ninifi relating to a kalo? Pasuk describes Yerushalayim as nifei noif, mesos kolorets, a beautiful city, beautiful scenery, the joy of the land. So noif refers to something beautiful. And the way that's the way a kala presents itself. That's why she's called nymph. Well, the tarnagel sechvi was used to describe a rooster. Amar vidomarab viboyesem avshom alevi. My crow. Would we find a hint to this in a pasuk? A sechvi is synonymous with a rooster. Hashem tells Yoiv, who inserted wisdom in a person? Mishas betuchais. Who put into the smooth limbs, the smooth parts of a person, his kidneys? Chachma. Who filled it with wisdom? We know that the kidneys of a person supply him with Eitzah. The Gemara Bracha says, Kloyos Yoyatzos. Who did that? Oy mi nosan la sechvi bina. Who gave bina to a sechvi? Explains the Gemara. Mishas betuchos chachma. Who put chachma into the tuchos? Elu kloyos. These are the kidneys of a person. Oy mi nosan la sechvi bina. Who put bina into the sechvi? Ze tarnagel. That's the rooster. Who differentiates between night and morning? And actually, in the Russian brachas, the Mishnah Berurah brings it, the word sechvi can have a dual meaning, either a rooster or a person's heart. So we thank Hashem for giving us that wisdom that He inserted into our heart, and is also discernible by the rooster, who differentiates between night and day. That's why Chachamim were mesaken to make this bracha as an all-encompassing bracha on a person's wisdom, on we relate to the rooster's wisdom, who's mavchen ben yom ben loyla. Continues the Gemara. Levi ikla lahu asru. Levi visited this town. Also gavra l'kamei. This fellow came running to him with a complaint. Amar Levi tells him, kavan planya. Planya, this fellow, did kavan. He did something to me. Kavan. Now, Levi was not familiar with the local phraseology, local terms. Le'yavi yada maika amar Levi. He wasn't sure what this fellow was complaining about. Also, Shaul ben Midrasha, so he came to the Beis Medrash and he asked him, Amrlei, Gazlan Planya, that this fellow meant to say that Pliny robbed me. So Kavan means that he robbed me. Gazlan Amrloch, that's what he says. This fellow robbed me. Dechsiv Hayikba Adamalekim. Pasuk's complaining that Klal Yisrael is not bringing Truma. A kind of person rob Hashem of Truma. So Yikba, Kavan relates to robbing and stealing. Amalei Rav Mibarnish L'Rav Ashi. So he tells Rav Ashi, why the bother? He could have figured it out on his own. Yavoy Asim, if I was there, and this fellow approaches me, Kavan Planya, so I would have just continued the conversation. I would have said, Hava Aminalei. I would tell him, really? Kavan Planya? Let me ask you some questions. Hechi Kavach, how did he do it? Ba my Kavach, with what? To what extent? Ba my Kavach, and why? And this fellow would have responded, well, he robbed me $1 million, more than night, with a gun. On my own, I would have figured out, I would have understood what he was referring to. So why do you have to run to the Beis Medrash? You could have just figured it out. The reason why Levi didn't do that, because he was concerned that most of the Surah Kamali, he was perhaps referring to something inappropriate. Rashi says, I could arise with him. So in any case, he didn't want to get into the discussion any further. He just took it to the Beis Medrash to figure it out. Continues the Gemara, Lo yhavu yadi rabbanon mai seirugin. Rabbanon were not familiar with the term seirugin, mentioned in the Mishnah Megillah. One reads the Megillah, bis seirugin is not yaitze. What does seirugin mean? Until they overheard Shamua, they heard la amso de be Rebbe, the maidservant. In Rebbe's home, she was a learned person, a talmidas chachamim. And we find in Gemara Ma'id Katan, the Chacham give her a lot of respect. In fact, she placed a person in nidui for hitting his adult son because he's provoking him, he's going to cause him to do an avera. So she put him in nidui, and the Chacham did not want to remove the nidui. She was a chashuva lady. In any case, they overhear her saying, the chazesinu, she became a mashgiach here, the chazesinu the rabbonon, she saw the rabbonon da havu idly piskis piskis, they were coming in, bits at a time. They weren't coming in all at once, whether it's the base medrash or whatever. Amr lehu, so she turns to them and she says, Adman sayatam nechnasin sirugin, until when are you going to be coming in like this, bits and pieces, pairs at a time, instead of all at once? Perhaps they were coming to have their meal there. So she was complaining that they were coming sirugin, incrementally. Now we know sirugin means incrementally, and if one reads the Megillah, stop and go, it doesn't work. It has to be continuously from beginning to end without skipping around. Well, Yahavu Yadir Rabbanon, my chalugugais. Chalugugais is some plants, some vegetables mentioned in context to a zav. It can provoke ziva. Rabbanon were not familiar with this term. What exactly is chalugugais? Yarmachad, Shamol, Amsad, the very Rebbe. Once again, they were heard, Rebbe's maidservant, the chaz yisal gavar. So you're watching this fellow, the kamevadar, who is dispersing parbachine stuff, his greens or whatever. Amr lei, so she turns to him, Admasa, until when are you going to do this? Atamafaza chalugulugach. Why are you doing this to your chalugulugach? So they figure out exactly which plant is called chalugulugas. Furthermore, leyaviyadi rabbonon, my salsala, usurayim mecca. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. If you get involved and immersed in Torah, the Torah will have such a profound effect on you, it will elevate you. So they were unfamiliar with the term salsala. What is that? Yom echad, shamu ala amsa de berebi. One day they overheard amsa de berebi, dava amra lau gabra. She was admonishing this fellow. She's giving him teichach and musa. Dava mahabich besari. This fellow was stroking, combing his hair. Amra lei, she tells him, ad masa atam salsam sarecha. How much longer are you going to be doing this, pushing around your hair, styling your hair? So they figured out masalsa means to stroke, to comb. Masalsa is a remecha. Immerse yourself in Torah, delve into Torah, internalize it, experience it for what it really is, and it will have its profound effect and will elevate you. Usa remi mecha. Lo yihavu yadi rabbon mai v'teite siya b'metate hashmed. Rabbon were unfamiliar with the term metate, v'teite siya. Used to describe the churban which will befall Bavel. Hashem says, "V'tetesia v'metate hashmed, I'll destroy it." What does this mean? Yom echad, until one day, shamu ala amsad be'rebi. They overheard the amsad be'rebi. That was amr l'chaverta. She was the in-house manager. She turned to her fellow cleaning lady, and she tells her, "Kshkuli tatisa, please grab the broom, v'tati beis and sweep the home." Now they figured it out. Tetesia means to sweep b'metate with a broom. Hashem is going to sweep out. Empty out Bavel, make it desolate. Finally, Lehavu Yadi Rabbanon. Rabbanon were unfamiliar with the term Hashlich al Hashem Yehavcha. Pass on to Hashem your Yehavcha. What does Yehavcha mean? V'hu Yichalkelech Hashem will look after you. What does this mean? Omer Rabba Babrachana. Yoyim Achad. One day it so happens that Hava Azlina Ba'adei Ahutai. I was walking alongside this Ishmaeli merchant, Hava Darina Tuna. I was carrying a load, a quite heavy load. V'amrali, and the Ishmaeli turned to me and says, "Why are you carrying it? Shekel Yahavich, take your Yahavich, your load. Oh, v'shadeg amloy, and toss it onto my camel. I'm going in the same direction. Why don't you take your load and put it onto my camel?" So now the Rabbana figured out the word Yahavcha. Apparently, it's referring to a person's load, person's worries. person's concerns. Hashlech al Hashem v'havcha. Take your concerns and give it over to Hashem, and Hashem will look after it. You in your hands. Asks the Vilna Gaon. They didn't know the word Yehovah until they saw the Ishmaeli over there. So he explains, of course they knew what Yehovah means. It means a load. They had a suffix regarding the sugya of hishtadlis versus bitachin. Now we know a person has to do something to earn results, to earn Hashem's bracha. Right? It's part of the system. Hashem doesn't just do miracles. We have to do hishtadlis. Says the Vilna Gaon, initially Chachamah figured, you have to do something in earnest, a real ishtadlus, and then you hope for some bracha, for some returns. The answer was no. Take a look at the story. He had a load. He saw a camel. Really, he should have turned to the Ishmaeli, offered him some payment to carry his load. Instead, the Ishmaeli turns around. It was decreed from Hashem that he should help the tzaddik. He turns around to the tzaddik, hey, come. Let me carry your load for free. So Yahavcha means something which you meant to pay for. Yahav means to give. Something which should have cost him. Instead of him initiating it and paying for it, this fellow, it was decreed from Hashem, this fellow has to help him. So instead of him initiating, the other fellow initiates the conversation. Please, take your load, toss it onto my camel, and let me offer you my services free of charge. Says the Vilna Gaon, that was the lesson that they learned, a profound lesson. In ishtadlus and bitachon. Have bitachon Hashem. A person is meant to be fully dependent on Hashem's ability to deliver. True, we have to do ishtadlus to mask the bracha. It shouldn't become a miraculous phenomenon. Hashem wants to be master of the nest. That's what we have to do, the ishtadlus, the effort. But don't think for a moment, says the Vilna Gaon, that it's your effort which brings about the results. And there's a big difference there in attitude, in extent, and how much a person is going to pay attention to his ishtadlus. Look, if he's just doing a formality, to be yoytzei the chiv of ishtadlus, and he just says something which can theoretically bring about the results as the Chayvei Sabbos writes. But in no way does he think that this is going to generate the result. It's just to mask the bracha. Instead of it being a nes, it's now going to present itself as something natural. That's all. That's all I have to do. But there's no connection, no relationship between what I'm doing and the result. It's not facilitating the brach or the parnas or whatever. Hashlech al Hashem yahavcha. Even something which you're l'chayra meant to do to bring about the results, toss it on to Hashem. It's not even your shtalas that has any connection to the end result. Hashem will count for it. Hashem will accommodate you, will take care of you, will look after you. From beginning to end, you have to do just a little bit. So that Hashem's bracha should not come about as a nes. Rather, it should appear like it's derech hatav. Okay, so in summation, which shofar is kosher? Basically everything, except for the parah, according to Shitas Chachamim. Why? What's wrong with the parah? In kategor nasas haneger, it looks like a couple of pieces put together. Then we have the time of the Mishnah. It's called a keren and not a shofar. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. A shofar is not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Don't worry about kategor. A shofar is a single entity. Don't worry about the 2-3 shofaris. And in fact, I have a pasuk. Even the keren of a shofar is called a shofar. We went through a list of various phrases and their translations. We concluded, Hashlecha Hashem Yehavcha. Toss your load and your worries up to Hashem, and He will take care of you. Continues the Mishnah. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yoel Pashut. The shofar, which we use to blow on Rosh Hashanah, is meant to be ideally from a Yoel, Rashi says a Steinbuck, Tesis disagrees, it's a different animal. So whatever it is, but it's supposed to be Pashut, straight, not a curved, bent shofar. That's number one. Upiv Mitzupa Zav. The mouthpiece, where you place your mouth when you blow that shofar, is meant to be gold-plated. Rashi says this was in the Beis HaMikdash. They had a gold-plated mouthpiece shofar. In addition to the shofar, they had two trumpets, one on either side of the shofar. Shofar marich. So initially they all blow together. But then the chatzaitras stop, and the shofar continues longer than the rest. The chatzaitras mekatzris, and the trumpets stop a bit earlier, to highlight the main element today, the main feature is the shofar. Shemitzvah sayoi b'shofar. The primary mitzvah today is not the chatzaitras, it's just the compliments. The shofar is the primary, and therefore, it lasts the longest. So according to the Tanakhama, on Rosh Hashanah, it's meant to be a straight shofar. Gemara says, Nisal of Avinu al Kapayim, a person is meant to extend himself, connect himself up to Hashem. And that's why the straightness of the shofar is important. Straight, straight, true connection to Hashem. That's in Rosh Hashanah. Ubetanius, you see, how many times a year would they use a shofar? Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Kippur of a Yovel of the 50th year, they would blow the shofar as well. And thirdly, during fast days, they would gather everybody together to daven, if it was a drought or some other hardship they were facing. Says the Tanakhama, there's a difference in the shape of the shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to see soon Yom Kippur as well, which is meant to be the same as Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be a straight, flat shofar, as opposed to Betanias, on days of fast days. Then, Bishel Schorim, you meant to use a ram's horn, kfufen, bent and curved. And the reason is because you meant to show that it's only a derabbanan, it's different than the blowing of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, which are midrash. So it's meant to be a different shape. Bishel Schorim kfufen, upien mitzuba kesef. And instead of the mouthpiece being gold-plated, it's silver-plated. You have one shofar on either side of the trumpets, two trumpets in the middle, because the ikar feature today is the chatzoitres. Chatzoitres are there to summon the crowds, bring them together to daven. So the chatzoitres occupy center stage, and you have a shofar on either side to accompany the chatzoitres, and here it's in the reverse. Shofar makatzav, chatzoitres marichas. The shofar blows relatively a short blow, the chatzoitres continue their blow, they have sound, they blow their sound past the shofar. Why shemitzvah sayim b'chatzoitres? Because the ikar feature is the chatzoitres. So again, on Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to see soon on Yom Kippur as well, of the Yovel, we have a straight shofar, the main feature there is a shofar, so the trumpets are on the sides, the shofar is in the middle, and blows the longest. On Taniyot, it's the other way around. We have a bent, curved shofar to show that it's only the Rabbanon, to set it apart from Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And over there, the main elements are the chatzoitres, the trumpets. So they're in the middle, they occupy center stage, the shofar is on either side, and the chatzoitres are marichos, they blow the longest. Concludes the Mishnah, Shavah HaYevel Rosh Hashanah, Tkiyah LeBrachos. The Yom Kippur of the Yovel year is similar, is equated to Rosh Hashanah when it comes to Tkiyah, right? How many times we blow and what type of shofar we use, a straight, smooth shofar, with the brachos, and also regarding the brachos. Just as in Rosh Hashanah we have nine brachos in our Shemoneh Esrei, we have Malchus, Yochanan, and Shofars. Likewise, on Yovel, we do the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. He flips it around. Rosh Hashanah toikim mishal schorim. Rosh Hashanah meant to show that we're submitting to Hashem, we're bending to Hashem through tefillah, through Mesiras Nefesh. We want to demonstrate Akidas Yitzchak as well. So it's all about bowing and bending. So therefore he says, Rosh Hashanah toikim mishal zuchorim. We use the bent, curved ones of the rams. And on Yom Kippur of Yovel, doesn't have to be the same as Rosh Hashanah, so he disagrees on that account. No connection between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he can use something else. He meant to use the flat, smooth ones, the straight ones, B'shal Ye'elim, the ones of the Steinbach ones, the straight ones. Why? Because what's the point of blowing on Yom Kippur of Yovel? To set the Avodim free. The lands go back to the former owners. Freedom to the masses. Straight, smooth. Freedom. If it says Yom Yudah, on Rosh Hashanah, use the bent one. For tefillah, for tshuva, for hachna. On Yom Kippur, smooth, straight. Freedom to all. So in the Mishnah, we have two shittas so far. Tanakhama, who says Rosh Hashanah, it's straight. Likewise, on Yom Kippur straight, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur go hand in hand. During Gitanus, it's the Rabban, we want to show it's different, then we use a different shape. Rabbi Yehuda holds all the way around. Rosh Hashanah, bent, submissive, curved, kfifa. So it's the ram on Rosh Hashanah. And according to him, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur don't have to be connected, and therefore he says, on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yehuda will use this straight one to show Chayrus freedom. Here comes a third sheet, Amar Blevi. Mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shem Kippur b'kfufin. You see, he's going to take an element from the Tanakam. Which element? That Rosh Hashanah and Kippur go together. He can't differentiate. Rashi brings a Gzeirah Shava later in the Gemara. So they go hand in hand. So that point he takes from the Tanakam. Right? And what is he going to take from Yehuda? That Rosh Hashanah, you meant to exhibit kfifus, submission, tshuva, tefillah, hachno. Therefore, he says, use a bent, curved shofar. So, Amar Blevi, mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom Kippurim b'kfufin. Both Rosh Hashanah and Kippur feature a bent, curved shofar. V'shel kol Hashanah b'shutin. Regarding fast days, then we do a flat one. We want to show that it's the Rabban, it's different than the other occasions. So again, at this point, you have three shittes. Tanakhama says, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur go together, both flat, straight shofars. According to Yehuda, Rosh Hashanah, a bent shofar. Yom Kippur, a straight shofar. According to Levi, both are bent. Regarding Tanias, so basically it's the opposite of what you do Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. According to Tanakam, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is straight, Tanias is bent, to show that it's the Rabban. According to Levi, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are bent, so Tanias, you use a straight shofar to show that it's Rabban. Now, how could Rabbi Levi say that we use a bent one on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? About Tanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah? Shofar Rosh Hashanah Shoyol Pashut. The shofar that we use on Rosh Hashanah is meant to be straight. Hudama Kei Tana. He follows Rabbi Yehuda. He took out an element of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Who holds? It's meant to be a curved bent shofar, the Sani, Rabbi Daimer. But Rosh Hashanah Hayu Toikin Mishal Schorim Kfufin. Right? If so, why does Rabbi Levi have to introduce his own Shita? Why can't he just say, look, I'm following Rabbi Yehuda? V'lema, hilchasuk Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, the answer is, he didn't really follow Rabbi Yehuda all the way. If he would only say, we follow Rabbi Yehuda, I would think, all the way, bent on Rosh Hashanah, and straight on Yom Kippur. We differentiate between one and the other. Afilu shel yevil nami k'Rabbi Yehuda sevirli. He'll follow Rabbi Yehuda even when it comes to a yevil. Right, Rabbi Yehuda is the one to differentiate. It doesn't hold that Gzeirah Shavah, the connection between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So had Levi only said Halach Rabbi Yehuda, we would say all the way, bent on Rosh Hashanah to show tshuva, to show achna, and straight on Yom Kippur to show freedom. He didn't want to say that because he held you can't be machalik between the two. Kamash Malon. That's why. Rabbi Levi gets up and says, Mitzvah Shor Rosh Hashanah v'shem Kippurim b'kfufin. He had to introduce his own shita. Because really, he was making his own new shita. I want bent. But I want bent all the way. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we really have three shitas. Tanakhama says, straight all the way. Rabbi Levi says, bent all the way. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rosh Hashanah bent, Yom Kippur straight. But Mike Miflagi, what's the Svaris? What's the background to this machlekes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? Mar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds Rosh Hashanah. Kama de Kayif Inish Daite Tfei Mali. You know, Rosh Hashanah, the more a person presents himself with submission, hachna, he bends himself, the better it is. And therefore, we use a curved shofar to express that sentiment. As opposed to Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, Kama the Pashit, Inish Daitit Femiali. Yom Kippur, the flatter, the smoother, the better. Freedom to the masses. Let's go over to Rashi, 16 lines from the bottom. On Rosh Hashanah, we say, Kama the Kayif Inish Bit Filosai, Panav Kvushin La'aras. His face down, his body bent. Tfei Adav, that's better. Mishim Vahayu Einai Vilibi Shem. Hilkach Rosh Hashanah, Dilat Tfila. It's meant to express Tfila. La'askar Kedes Yitzchak Ba. We need bent. curved, beinu kfufin, as opposed to yovel, where it's coming to symbolize freedom. V'yovel shein likroi dror, freedom to the mass, freedom to the avodim. Beinu pshuta, it needs to be straight, flat, uncomplicated. Ugzero shavah lesle. Apparently, Rabbi does not hold this connection between Roshana and Kippur. So Roshana is crooked, and Kippur is straight. Continues the Gemara. What about Tanakama? Two lines from the bottom. Umar Sara. Tanakama holds. Just the opposite. But Rosh Hashanah, a different approach. But Rosh Hashanah, Kama the Poshet Inish Daitet Vemawi. He holds that Rosh Hashanah, the smoother you are, the flatter you are, the more connected to Hashem you are. Says Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom. Interesting, a different approach. Different approach to Tefillah. He focuses more on the personal connection between Yisrael and Hashem. Kama the Poshet Tvei Odev, says Rashi. You're lifting your hands to Hashem. It's the connection to Hashem that you're experiencing through the Shofar. So is it personal submission? That's what you do. Or is it that connection, the result they're looking for, that connection to Hashem? A straight line up to Hashem. So that's why he holds in Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be a flat, a straight Shofar. And Kippur also have the same because of the Gzeirah Shavah. And by Tanis, it's only there to sound the alarm so that everybody comes running and gathers together to daven. Really makes no difference. That's why we do it bend to show that it's not a day rise, the friendship between the Tzgeirah day rise, Shanim Kippur, and the Rabbanon of the Tanis. So we do it have a different shape. Let's conclude the Gemara. On the bottom line. So on Rosh Hashanah, we have a straight shofar. And likewise in Yom Kippur, as Rashi explained, because of the Gzeirah Shavah. Ubetanias, we use a bent, curved shofar. Kama the kaif inish dayatet femali. The more bent, the better. Rashi explains, really, the point of the Gemara is just that a tanis is dirabbanon. So we do it differently. We use a twisted shofar to show that it's only dirabbanon. Okay, so conclusion. We actually have three shittas. Tanakam, Rabbi Yudan, believe. Tanakama says, Rosh Hashanah, straight shofar. And the Rishonim say, it's an expression of a straight heart, the tshuva, the purity that we're seeking to achieve, that true, pure connection with Hashem. Straight, smooth, uncomplicated. Yom Kippur as well, because it's a Gzeirah Shavah. It's going to be Pashut. Taniyot, which is only the Rabbanon, we want to show that Chiluk, and we use a twisted shofar. He really does not hold that connection between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, and therefore he says, Rosh Hashanah, I prefer a twisted shofar. Come with the kaif inch. The more twisted, the more submissive, the more bent a person appears, the better his tefillah is, the more heartfelt his mesirus nefesh is. On Yom Kippur, it symbolizes cheiros, flat, straight. Tanis, we don't know in the Gemara, there's no discussion about that. Regarding Rav Levi, he goes with a kafif. For Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he follows Rabbi Yehuda. He was bent, he was twisted to express tefillah, Mesiras Nefesh, and Yom Kippur gets that as well because of the Gzeirah Shavah, as opposed to the Tanis, which is the Rabbanon. We create that hecker, that differentiation, and we use a straight shofar. Okay, so what did we learn today? Technically, all shofaros can be used. What about a shofar para? Rabbanon say no. It's called a Karen, not a Shofar. Rabbi Yitzchak says, what do you mean? It's called a Karen and a Shofar. We have another two reasons in the Gemara. Rabbana say, a Para, that's connected to the Egel situation, in Kategar Nasas HaNegar, to which Rabbi Yitzchak responds by saying, well, it's not taking place in the Kaddish HaKadosh, and there's no concern. Whereas Rabbana saying, what do you mean? It's meant to bring out the Zikaron of Yisrael to Hashem. It's considered like Lifnim. Another reason, for the Rabbanon's concern, is because the shofar of the para presents itself in gildy, has these layers, these scales. It looks like a compilation of parts. Shtayim v'shleisha shofaros. Rashi says, bottom line is, it's all connected, it's one entity. We're looking for the translation of M'sheich b'keren ha-yovel, that yovel indeed is a ram. That's what we got into the whole discussion of phrases and wordings and terminologies. And concluded with the story with Hashtech al Hashem Yahavcha, Luich al Kalecha, beautiful Pshat of the Vilna Goin. Just rely on Hashem, He'll look after you. And concluded regarding the shape of the Shofar. Is it going to be straight, twisted? And we have various shittas. All the best to you and much atzlacha.